Welcome to Inside Groove, the only motorsports show where super modifieds are king, methanol is aromatic, and the drivers carry their balls in a bag. Inside Groove is powered by IPC Indy, creating performance parts and solutions for the automotive, aerospace, and communications industries. Here's your host and fellow superholic, Race Chaser Media's Tom Baker.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's Inside Groove podcast. It is the post-Stock Classic podcast, if you will, and happy to be back with you all again. My name is Tom Baker. I am joined, as always, by Camden Proud, who is the PR director at the Oswego Speedway. He's also the 2019 Supermodified Rookie of the Year, and he's also my co-host, so he is a man who wears many hats, and I know that you've been under the weather a little bit, Cam. Glad that you're feeling well enough to drop by and do the show here as we once again get back together via the miracles of modern technology. You up in Oswego, me down here in Statesville, North Carolina, at the WSIC radio and TV studios, and man, Jeff Abold was the star at Star over the weekend, it seems. And yes, folks, we do have a very lengthy interview with Jeff Abold for you here. It's about a half hour, about 37 minutes, I think, all told. And this one's a little different. You're going to hear it. It's produced a little differently. We had him on our Lead Lap radio show the other night, our national Monday night radio show that we do. I literally just chopped it right out of the show, and I'm planting it in here, so it's going to sound a little different. It's basically a JIP, which means we joined it in progress just a few seconds, and so you'll hear it straight as it aired on that show the other night, and he really gets into some cool detail about racing a super, the G-forces at Star versus racing at Oswego, top wing versus tail wing, that kind of thing. This was a much different interview, and but he was nonetheless really excited about winning at Star. I think this was one he wanted very badly, Cam, and it was great to see that he was able to pull it off after a number of years of being so close but just not getting there.
I know how badly those guys wanted it. He's put so much into his program out at Star. He and his father, Pat, just work so hard. And every time they go out there, I don't know what it is, but they're one of the fastest cars every time. And it just jumps out at me that leading into Saturday night, those guys had 4 second-place finishes between father and son in that race. And now the monkey's finally off their back.
Yeah, it's great to see that. I mean, we didn't have a large quantity of cars for a classic race, but we did have a great quality of car and quality of driver, and Jeff just went out and beat them all. I mean, you know, he ran a 10.9 second lap and then told me later on, I figured that was the track record, and I was wrong. He told me later on that somebody had gone, I think, 10.7. I
just 10.7, yeah.
Can't imagine that. My gosh, that is fast.
You know, I thought for sure it was the track record, and Mike Silliman was telling me a story about who broke the record, and it was quite a big deal. I can't remember what exactly the details were, but I thought for sure he had the record. Everybody was on their feet when he ran that 10.9. So what a special night for those guys. Really just an absolute clinic. He ended up lapping up to 5th place, which was just incredible. So they went there and loaded that car off the hauler and had their stuff figured out. Fastest in practice, fastest in time trials, and just like I said, pure domination in the classic.
What's amazing to me is there were only a few cautions. I mean, Jeff told me the race was over in 35 minutes. I mean, that's an incredible thing for a classic race like Star, especially on that bullring. You just would always associate it with having some yellow flags, but boy, that was a really quick race, and Jeff got out of it, and some of the pictures, it definitely looked like he'd been through the ringer, and it's such a mentally and physically demanding race.
It is, and it really did fly by. It was a very fast-paced race to watch, and I don't know. I mean, when he took the lead, it didn't look like anybody had anything for him until maybe Pearly started to find a little speed at the end, but by then he was just a straightaway ahead, and he did all of the right things. He was patient in lap traffic, took his time where he needed to, and like I said, lapped up to 5th place Mike Ordway. So, and I just think that it was kind of ironic. He lapped up to the car that he took the race lead from earlier, and that just goes to show you how fast Jeff was.
Well, you make a good point. I mean, that's to be able to be in that situation where you're the leader at one point and then you're getting lapped later, but that's what these classic races do. You know, that's the kind of a situation that you have in these races. You're strong early and not so strong late, or,
right,
you know, you're not so strong early, but maybe, you know, you're saving the car or whatever, or you figure something out late where it kind of comes to you. And, you know, but Jeff, again, it just felt like he had one of those cars, almost like Tyler Thompson did at Oswego, where, I mean, he was just the man on that day. They finally hit it.
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of thinking the same thing. It's two classics in a row where we've just seen two guys come out and absolutely dominate. And I love that he showed up and did it there with a 10-year-old Oswego car. It's
yes.
a car that has also won the Oswego Classic. How often do we see that anymore? Not often at all.
I was just going to say, not often enough.
Yeah, even better said, not often enough. And now the Abel family has two out of three, with Jeff winning Oswego and Star and Pat winning at Sandusky. So I would love to see Jeff go out to Sandusky next year and try to get a high miler. And I just love this. It's kind of a new Triple Crown chase to watch. It's really cool.
Yeah, well, and you know what? I feel like, and I mentioned to Jeff in the interview, and we in fact, I hit him with it right off the top. Are you going out and try to get the third leg of the Triple Crown? And he stopped just short of committing, but it certainly sounded like that was his intent, and that was going to be something that, you know, they would look hard at doing. And, you know, I think in this day and age in supers, and I think what we've learned this year and what we see, and I talked with Jeff extensively about this too, so I won't fully share my thoughts here until after the interview is over, but I think we're at a point now where the two touring series are so down on cars, and Oswego is now progressing upward, thank the Lord. I think it's time to unify the super modifieds and build something around the Triple Crown races and make more out of that, because to me, that you've got one race in Ohio, one in New England, one in Oswego. I think, you know, it would make sense to try and build some sort of a bonus or a some sort of marketing, you know, do something around the Triple Crown that gets more people traveling back and forth and competing in all of these shows, because in all honesty, there aren't enough super modified cars even today right now that are competing for everybody to be equally well served. So we have to try to do all we can to at least level the playing field. I feel like the Tailwing was a start toward that. You know, there are some other things I think ISMA and MSS need to do, and I can talk about those later, but I just feel like there should be more energy put into the Triple Crown and more excitement built around the Triple Crown, because, you know, if you can go and win even two of those three in the same year, you're doing something. And, you know, Jeff didn't do that, obviously, but he did have a fourth and a first in the last two legs. So I feel like, you know, that, I mean, what do you think? You're a driver.
I think we absolutely just need more participation in all three of these events.
Yeah.
I agree with what you're saying. I think that is very important. These are the three biggest, most historic races in super modified racing, and I would love to see something done, all three sanctions working together to just get more participation all across the board, because what we're seeing here with Jeff, we talk about how rare it is that it's with the same car, or even how rare it is for a driver to even be in that position. That just should not be the case. We've had, you know, six or seven people actually pull it off in the past. We need to have six or seven more right now today that are at least in contention to do so.
Right.
And the only one that we've even seen do that is Dave Schulich, and that's with two different race cars. So I love that Jeff is at least in position to be able to do so. We need to see more of that.
Well, I agree. I mean, I think that we've got to start looking beyond our own little group and start looking at super modified racing as a whole, and all start working toward growing the division again in that region, rather than just doing what we want to do. you know, there and it needs to be one car, one motor package, one wing, one everything. As far as I'm concerned, I'm not saying, you know, go build spec cars. I'm making the point that you need to make everything the same with what we have. You're not disenfranchising anything. You're not killing any chassis. You're basically making it easier for more cars to compete. And then we need to start marketing. And imagine if you could take that three-race deal, the classics from each of those three tracks and representing three different series, essentially just take those, put them on TV or put them even online as pay-per-views, but and do, you know, build an audience for the three of them and get somebody to, you know, to come in and offer a bonus or, you know, do some things, get some sponsors around just the Triple Crown for now. Because I think we've seen that the trend is lower participation at the ISMA shows and the MSS shows. So let's start with just that little three race deal and see if we can build out from there.
I love it. I think that would be interesting. I know a lot of people that listen to this might not agree just because a lot of people don't like change, but I believe that it's, you know, not that I want to see the ISMA wing go away. I think it's going to come to a point where if we want ISMA and MSS to survive down the road, this may be the option that we have to look at. Again, I know some people really might not like that, but we have to look at those things, and I think that that's a very realistic idea. I don't think by any stretch that that's out of the question moving forward. I'll put it that way.
It's just something I think that needs to be discussed. But again, we can talk more about that, and I'll have a few more things to say after we hear Jeff's interview to close the show. But got you for just a few more minutes. First of all, give us the finish from start. Give us the details from the Star Classic.
Well, like you said, it wasn't a huge field, but it was a great race. You know, 20 cars around that little bull ring is pretty darn good. And I really enjoyed the race. And we had Jeff obviously picking up the win, Chris Pearly finishing in second. That car, that old car, just goes in. It seems like no matter what race we're at, ISMA, wherever, it puts on a show. And that was the case Saturday. John McKennedy, another good run, finishing in third on the podium again. Kyle Edwards making the trip out from Ohio to finish fourth. Mike Ordway, it looked like it was his race, and a bent nose wing early on kind of was the nail in the coffin, and he just faded towards the end to finish in fifth. I know those guys were disappointed in that, but good run nonetheless. Mark Sammet finished sixth. Mike Lichty leading the points going into the last race, finishing seventh. 00 Joe looked pretty fast. Actually ran top five for a while, ended up finishing eighth. Otto Sitterly came out. That was kind of a surprise. He finished ninth, and Russ Wood recovered from an early spin to finish 10th. And the rest of the running order, 11th and 12th, were the two young guns, Ryan Locke and Jeff Battle. Jamie Timmons in 13th, Dan Bowes 14th, Mike Muldoon 15th, Bobby Chartier in 16th, Eric Lewis 17th, Ben Seitz 18th, and Tyler Thompson had some steering problems, finished up in 19th. Halfway leader bonus, $1,000, sponsored by Shea Concrete, went to Jeff Abled. And Abled also picked up a $200 bonus from Coyote Construction for being the fast time trialer. So those guys walked out of Star with some extra cash. And I would say probably one of the biggest nights of Jeff's career, obviously. So I know those guys were the last people out of the pits on Saturday night and probably the last ones home on Sunday afternoon too. So great weekend for the Abled family.
Yeah, it definitely was. And when we hear from Jeff in a few moments, he talks a lot about the race itself and just a lot of things. It was a very different interview, of course, keeping in mind that the show that we do on Monday nights is much more of a national audience. So I sort of focused it on kind of a more basic, you know, talk about what it's like to run a super at Star, talk about the G-forces, talk about, you know, Jeff is such an amazing interview, and I think you all are really going to enjoy hearing what he had to say on Monday night, and I got a couple of text messages after that show from non-super modified people that said, you know what, we really enjoyed that. He was very well spoken, and he taught us a lot and gave us a lot of understanding about what it was like and the differences between, say, a big track like Oswego and Star. That was fun. And so looking forward to that. Okay, we go straight from Star Speedway to Lucas Oil Raceway Park, I guess, or Lucas Oil Raceway, whatever it's called this week. I keep getting confused. They can't settle on a name out there, but really excited to see that Supers went back there last year, and I can't make it this year, but I'm really looking forward to hopefully getting out there next year. That's something that is on my bucket list to do, to go out and cover that. I know that there are a number of guys from Oswego that are going out. Who can we expect to see at this race?
You know, I'm so excited for this race, and like you, I wish I could make the trip out. The airfare prices are just not being cooperative, but it's looking like a great field. I've been in contact with Lori May from MSS quite a bit, and she actually sent me a roster so I could discuss it on the show. And from Oswego, we have Dan Connors Jr. is going back out. Tyler Thompson will be there with the classic winning car.
Sweet.
And make a side note, Dave Schulich's also going to be there with the high miler winning car. So I think that's pretty cool that we have both of those cars there.
Yes.
I wish Jeff was going out. It doesn't sound like he is. I think they have a wedding or something, but Joe Gosek's planning on it. And I think that is just awesome. He towed out to the high miler, ran well, and ran Indy, geez, 25 years ago now. And now is going to go back there with a, you know, relatively new Hawk car that he can be very competitive with. So I'm happy about that. And Jeff West, they're also making repairs on the car that got damaged in the Classic. And according to Lori, he was talking about putting either Santos or Davey Hamilton in the car for this race. So I hope they get it fixed, because that's pretty big.
Well, that would be big, yeah. I guess Jeff deciding that he enjoys being an owner as much as being a driver. So fun to see either of those two in the car, because they'll certainly get a lot out of it. And is there anywhere, is this race being streamed anywhere where we can see it, or no?
I don't think so. I wish
to fix that for next year.
I wish. I'm hoping it's at least on Race Monitor, because I'm going to be dying to know what's going on out there. So I hope so. If not, we'll do our best to have somebody keep us posted and get some results and maybe some audio from out there, because I think it's going to be a really fantastic event for the Supers. I think it was eye-opening to a lot of people that went there last year that hadn't seen these cars before. So it's a really, really good thing for us.
Okay, so I'm going to put this out there right now for everybody that's listening to this show. If you own a business and you have an interest in seeing or hearing this race next year, I will tell you, if I can get the right situation together to put the resources together to go out and do a radio, good old-fashioned radio, live radio-style broadcast from this race, I'm in. But I've got to have some help. So if any of you have got businesses and you're interested in helping out, send me a message and let me know, and let's put this together, because we need to make this available so people can have some sort of live stream. And I love audio, because the beauty of audio is that you can imagine what's going on. It's very simple to do. As long as the track has good internet, we can put it together and do it fairly easily. I would love to do that. So let's see if anybody out there with a business that would like to be involved in that and help make that happen, let me know, and let's make that a plan, because I think that would be a really cool race to do.
That would be fun.
Yes.
That would be a lot of fun.
Yes, actually, you and me should go out and do it together. That's really how this should be. Yeah.
American Airlines needs to drop their prices.
Well, let's see if we can get some folks to help us with all of that, because it costs $400 or $500 to fly across the street anymore. So,
yeah.
But if we can make that happen, let's do it. I would love to be the person who does it. I was humbled years ago to be the announcer for the East-West deal that they did there for the ISMA side, and would love to go back out again. So there you go. We'll see where that goes. But looking forward to hearing about all of that this weekend, and wishing everybody a safe time. What else do we need to know, Cam? Because I know that you need to head out and get some other things done today. What else do we need to know? What's going on with Oswego? Anything that you need to tell us news-wise?
Nothing too pertinent with Oswego. We have, they're laying a bunch of clay down right now for Super Dirt
Week. That's right. Yep.
Kind of shifting gears towards that. And then we have the banquet coming up on October 26th, and we'll be announcing menu, entertainment, ticket pricing, and all that stuff later this week. Also, we are going to have the International Classic back on MAV TV and Speed Sport. I know we talked about that before, but it's going to be airing next month. I believe the date is, we have two dates this year. which is exciting. We have October 3rd and also again on November 7th. It's going to be at 7 and 10 p.m. Eastern on both dates. And we're hoping that we could actually get the SBS Classic aired as well, just looking for a little bit of sponsorship to do so, and also looking for in-car camera footage for the Classic. So anybody that has that can email me, and you can be on national television. So we're looking forward to that opportunity again.
Lots of opportunity here. So mark those dates down, and we'll tell you about them again next week as well, and we'll keep promoting that as they come up. Okay, Camden, proud to appreciate your time today, and look forward to talking to you again next week. We want to remind you that this show, as always, sponsored by Indy Performance Composites. IPC is a full-service, custom-made composite designer and fabricator for all high-performance needs. They offer many advantages to their clients, including quick turnaround time, collaborative design, and exceptional customer service. Just give them a call or find them on the web at ipcindy.com. And now we are going to hear from none other than the winner of the Star Classic. Here is Jeff Abold.